Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. I pray that something can be said today that will be a blessing to you, that will give you something to ponder upon as you start your day. We are finishing up the day here in the United States. Just got out of our prayer service, and I will mention that there are some saints here that are in battles. I pray that you just remember them in prayer, that the Lord would be with them. There is a scripture in Psalms 103, and we'll start with verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." This is a tremendous promise of God. If the Lord will quicken this into your heart, then no doubt you can be healed, even right now, today. As you listen to this message, the Lord is able to come in and do miraculous things. I believe that with all my heart. But the title of this week's devotion is, "Why Are We Sick?" If we are believers, and with all these tremendous promises of God, why are we still sick? The accusations, and many times it is from the adversary, is it is because we lack faith. I will share a couple scriptures with you this morning, and then I would like to share with you a story. When it comes to unbelief, Brother Branham was told, if you can get the people to only believe, nothing shall stand before you, even cancer. So we understand that unbelief is a hindrance to the things of God, in that his miraculous power moving on our behalf. When we read Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58, it says, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." So even Jesus the Christ, the anointed Son of God, the unbelief of the people would hinder the ability of him to move in their midst and bring about healing on their behalf. There is a scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Many times men have taken this out of context. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 12 says this, "And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians." Note this, is not to say doctors are wrong, that it's wrong for a Christian to go to a doctor. It is about misplacing our trust and really losing our confidence in God. What you have to understand this, if God leads you to go through a doctor, it's still God that is going to bring about the healing within our bodies. The second point we want to talk about, not just will unbelief hinder our prayer and our ability to receive healing, it is iniquity will hinder our prayers. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, it says this, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Someone could ask, what does iniquity look like? It's unforgiveness. It's strife. It's fear. It's bitterness. It's anger. It's jealousy. It's broken relationships. It's discord within the family. Not only will these things have an effect upon our prayer life, they may have a physical effect upon our bodies as well. Many times people, when they think of iniquity, they think about these tremendous things like murder and adultery and fornication, things like this. But these things, these attitudes that we allow to strike our heart and find a home there, these things are counted as iniquity before God. Also, we see that a worldliness and unconfessed sin, these things will hinder our prayer life before God and in resulting in our not being able to receive our healing. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9, it says this, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." So what we want to do is make sure that we are walking in obedience unto God and not in rebellion, and that we have developed a relationship that when we need God to heal our bodies, that we can come to him with a confidence within us. I will read you this story. I believe it was Brother Jackson had told this story, and I'd heard it years ago. It says, it was in a church where Brother Branham was preaching. They had a group of deaf mutes in those meetings, and they did everything they possibly could to sit them right in front of Brother Branham in the hopes that at least some of them might get a touch from God. See, note that they did everything they possibly could to try to set the stage that God would move on their behalf. And sometimes this is what we try to do. We're trying to gather God's attention, but many times God has a greater plan. Brother Jackson goes on to say this, I sat there myself desiring to see God do something for them. But when that anointing would come upon Brother Branham, not one time did he ever turn to any of them. He would look right out over them and point out someone maybe way in the back of the building or even right near them, but not one of them was ever pointed out. Then a few months later, another man came to the area and set up a tent in the ballpark. As soon as he had started preaching, the Church of Christ people in that area got on the radio warning people to stay away from those meetings. They proclaimed that God no longer heals as he did in that first church age, and they called this practicing medicine without a license. I will never forget what took place on that Saturday night. That preacher came to the platform and said, people, I came to Evansville to mind my own business, but a bunch of those antichrist so-called Christians from the Church of Christ have blasphemed the word of God. Therefore, I want you all to know that I speak in defense of the power and promises of Almighty God tonight. You could actually feel that anointing settle down over the whole congregation of people. It could best be described as literal electrical currents surging through everyone. When he gave the altar call, he did not have to spend 15 minutes begging people to come. He merely said, if you are here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you find your way to this altar and someone will help you. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, all of a sudden it sounded like a herd of cattle stampeding as people came from every direction. Many of them had been standing outside that tent, leaning against parked cars, but suddenly the whole tent was filled and you could just feel the power of God surging through that great crowd of people. I thought about the crusade that they had in Chautauqua, how God had dealt with the people there also to pull upon them to give their hearts unto the Lord. I think how Brother Andrew must have been rejoicing when he saw what God was doing in their midst. Continuing with the story, that preacher prayed one little short prayer and then said, take them and pray with them personally, and may God touch their needs. Five of those same deaf mutes were prayed for that night, and the first three of the five that were prayed for received both their hearing and their speech, just as simple as that. What a testimony. Hearing and speech restored in a moment, in an instant of time. What great rejoicing that would bring. But my question is this. What about the other two? Surely, their faith must have been stimulated, seeing that the first three that were in line, they were all healed. But then the last two in line, neither one of them were healed. Neither one of them was touched. What was the problem? How difficult must it have been for those two people to see these miracles taking place right before them, and then when it came their time that the anointing lifted and there's nothing for them? Can you imagine the doubt, the questions that must have flooded their mind? The accusations from the adversary. I will read you a scripture. It's in John chapter 9 in verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. See, what we understand, the accusations not only come from our adversary, the devil, with the doubts and fears that he places within our minds. These accusations are now being voiced through the people. The people start to ask the question, why weren't these people healed? It's because they didn't have enough faith, or it's because they have sin in their body, sin in their life. It's the 2 points we brought out. It is because of unbelief, or it must be because iniquity, that God did not hear their prayers. Brother Branham would tell the story about a sister named Florence Sharkanian. Demas Sharkanian was a full gospel businessman. You may have heard that Brother Branham mention him. That was her brother. And there is testimonies of tremendous miracles and healings in their lives. But Florence, she's at the point of death. She is a godly woman. And then there starts to be prophecies coming forth that are declaring by faith, or so-called faith, that this woman would be healed. There are people that they are in agreement that God is going to do a mighty work on behalf of Florence once more. Brother Branham had spoke that she was going to die. And Billy Paul would ask him, "Dad, what about this? You said she's going to die, but all these people are prophesying and proclaiming that she is going to live." Brother Branham's answer was, "That is not what I saw." And you know what happened? She would pass from this life. She would die. In spite of all the so-called faith, all the people in agreement touching this thing, she passes away. And now, not only have the people lost a precious sister, they are left with no answer, and their faith is shaking. Some of you have heard Brother Branham speak about Edith Wright. She was a dear sister, a friend of Brother Branham, a friend. Her family was friends with Brother Branham. She was a saint of God, but she was also in a wheelchair. And throughout the years, and they knew Brother Branham for many years, and in spite of all the miracles that they witnessed, she never came out of that wheelchair. There was a brother that I met down at Faith Assembly, Brother Jackson's, in Brother Jackson's services. His name was Brother Glenn Funk. This was a precious brother, a saint of God, tremendous faith and an anointing upon his life. He had been a deacon at the Branham Tabernacle when Brother Branham was there, and he had been a close friend with Brother Branham. He had two sons that were stricken with polio. They were cripples. He would tell the testimony that many times Brother Branham, not only within the service, but Brother Branham would stop by their house to visit, and he would often want to pray for the boys, yet the boys were never healed. To some, Brother Glenn would become a reproach. In the midst of the mighty miracles in the ministry of Brother Branham, these two boys would remain cripples. What was the problem? Was it Brother Glenn had not enough faith? Was there iniquity in his life? What was the issues? I can tell you this. When I look at Brother Glenn Funk, I see a man of great faith that lived a dedicated, holy life before the Lord. I received a message this week in response to the daily devotions that we've been speaking upon. And this is what the sister told me. "I just finished listening to part one on your daily devotion about why are we sick. I've been on the receiving end of all the different comments that people have concerning my lack of faith, or why didn't you do this, or why didn't you do that? You must be secretly living in sin. You name it, you get it. And it's heartbreaking." Brothers and sisters, that is the purpose of this message. People, because of their lack of understanding, their ignorance, they have put a tremendous burden upon a person that because they are sick. They make accusations. You don't have faith. You don't have, there's something wrong in your life. You don't have the right relationship with God. The purpose of this message is people have been beat down and discouraged many times because preachers have misused the scriptures and abused the people with it. Instead of giving the people scriptural answers for their conditions, they have been made to feel that they are lacking in faith, that they are unworthy, that the problem lies within them. I met a brother one time, and he told me this. His mother was very sick, and he said, "I believed God. I had faith. I was trusting that God would raise her up." And he said, "But then my wife had a dream, and in the dream, my wife saw my mother in a casket. saw what she was wearing, everything. He said, and you know what happened? He said, my mother died. And he said, I don't understand why, because I had faith. I told the brother not to sound hard. What you had was not faith. It was only an emotion, a hope that had no substance. What your wife had was faith. God spoke to her in a dream and showed her what would surely come to pass. And it came to pass exactly as God has showed her. That is what faith is. If you are sick today, may the Lord quicken his word into your heart that you may rise up out of your affliction. But if you are still sick tomorrow, may you have the faith to resist all the fiery darts of the adversary that would add discouragement to your affliction. My desire is that the Lord would move in our midst in a miraculous way. There are many people that I love dearly that need a miracle from God. But I want to share this in closing. I received a prophecy one time, and it said this: you look for miracles, but there is healing in your words. I desire that the Lord would give you physical healing, but more than so than that even, I pray the Lord grant you peace. If my words, if this message can bring peace to your heart, then I will thank God for that. May the Lord be with you, guide you through the day. May he bless and keep you. Forget not his benefits. Claim hold of his promises and walk in him. I love you all. May God bless you in the precious name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ.